Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Vav, Chapter 6. Perek Vav is a transition from the pattern that has been happening until now in the Sefer. Until now, we've moved from the Maaser Merkava, and based on that initial Perek, have moved to symbolic acts, which Yechezkel has done in order to convey messages to the Jewish people. Here, he will be speaking, but not directed to any person. The Das Mikra is a series of Svarim written on Tanakh, where each volume has a different author who wrote the commentary on that Sefer. Sefer Yechezkel has a commentary written by Rav Yechiel Tzvi Moskowitz, who also wrote a commentary on Sefer Bamidbar. The Das Mikra is an important resource because it often outlines the structure of Prakim and explains the Pshat, the simple meaning of the text. The Das Mikra explains that this Perek has two sections, and each of those sections are divided into two sections. In Psukim Aleph through Yod, Yechezkel talks to the hills of Israel. First, he gives a nevuah about the destruction of the idolatry and their temples. And second, he has a reaction from those survivors who are living in exile and the tshuva process that results from what they have experienced. In Psukim Yod Aleph through Yod Aleph, verses 11 through 14, Hashem tells Yechezkel how to react to all that is happening. First, he should lament on what has been lost. And second, he goes on to further describe the destruction of Eretz Israel. There are a few words that repeat themselves in this parak that indicate a theme of the parak. The second and fourth sections, the second section of each of the main sections, both begin with the words, V'yadatam ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. They end with the words, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. The goal of the events of this parak is to lead to a recognition of Hashem's presence in the world. The Das Mikra also points out that this is the first time in Sefer Yechezkel where we are finding out the reason for the Chorban, which is the service of idols throughout the Jewish people. There are unique words in the parak which point us to look at the Torah, Perek Chavav, chapter 26 in Sefer Vayikra, which has the words of the Tochacha, the rebuke, that allow us to further understand why idolatry leads to punishment. The Torah tells us of the reward that comes if we listen to Hashem and the punishments that come if we don't listen to Hashem. In Perek Chavav, chapter 26 in Vayikra, there is a list of progressively more severe punishments. The last series of punishments use words that are only found in the Torah and in our parak in Yechezkel. What Moshe warned would happen is now coming to life during Yechezkel's lifetime. One of the aspects focused on in the Torah and in this parak is the destruction of Bamot. The pasuk in Vayikra uses language that is copied here, and it says, "Vishmarati es bamosechem, I will decimate your bamos, high places." Bamos have an important place in the progression of Jews serving Avodah Zarah, and so their destruction is discussed here in detail. Bamos are places of worship built by individuals. They are called high places because generally they are put in prominent locations, which would be visible from all those who are around. But they could have existed in any location, and indeed they did exist in all the locations in Israel. They could be used for service of Hashem or for idols. There are particular halachos that are unique for Bamos. After the Beis HaMikdash is built, no more Bamos are allowed. However, historically, this was not always the case. When the Jews entered into Eretz Israel, there were 14 years of conquest and dividing up the land, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal. At that time, Bamos were allowed, meaning individuals could set up a personal place to serve Hashem. When the Mishkan in Shiloh was built and the Aron was put back in the Mishkan, for 369 years, no Bamos were allowed in Israel. When the Mishkan then moved to two temporary locations, Nov and Givon, they were once again allowed to have Bamos. Finally, when the Beis HaMikdash was constructed and the Aron was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, no more Bamos were allowed for all time. However, the Jews did not comply with this halacha, and they still continued to use Bamos throughout Israel. It remained a problem throughout the time of the kings, both in Malchus Yisrael and in Malchus Yehuda, in the northern and southern kingdom. During the time of Chizkiyahu, he made an effort to get rid of the Bamos, but Menashe, his son, reintroduced the Bamos in those locations and even expanded them to new locations. During the time of Yoshiyahu, there was a campaign to get rid of idolatry throughout the land of Israel. However, during the time of Yoshiyahu, he did not destroy the Bamos. Instead, it says, Vayitame es haBamos, he made the Bamos impure. He did not destroy them, so they still existed. Rav Breuer explains why Bamos were such a problem that they are mentioned here, and they serve as a gateway into serving Avodah Zarah throughout history. The Butmos were an attempt by man to connect to God and to elevate his spiritual life, which seems fine. But the way in which they were done was actually forbidden. A person making it would dedicate this area to serve Hashem, but in doing so, he was actually violating Hashem's command. And in that paradox lies the problem. A person can't serve God based on a self-driven agenda. Because when we're serving God based on what we think, that's only one step from changing to more extreme modes of spiritual fulfillment based on what we think should be spirituality rather than what God wants. Idolatry is the ultimate control that one has over their own spiritual destiny, and I can control who and how I serve. And so making a bama, which is my definition of service of God, will lead to idolatry where I will have complete control. When my spiritual life is driven by my will, that is the cornerstone of all sins and represents a larger issue, which leads to the horrific punishments of this parak. The parak emphasizes that the goal of the destruction described in this parak is so that the nation would know that I am God, meaning that the service needs to be defined by God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, rather than by myself. Let's begin to look at the details of the parak. In Pasuk Aleph, it tells us that the word of Hashem comes to Yechezkel. This is the clue that the Nevuah is a separate unit from the previous Nevuah that we have had until now. In Pasuk Beis and Gimel, Yechezkel is told to address the mountains. Sim panecha el hare Yisrael. Set your face toward the mountains of Israel. Hashem will tell the mountains about Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Laharim v'lagvaos v'afikim v'lagayayos. Concerning the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. Hashem will destroy the bamos that are there. Razak says that it is as if he is speaking to the mountains and all those places, as they are all covered with idol worship. While in this parak, Yechezkel addresses the mountains and the valleys in a negative sense. We should know that in Parak Lamed Vav, chapter 36, he's going to address those same locations in a positive sense, telling them about a positive future that awaits the Jewish people. In Gimel and Zalad, it describes how the places of worship that are not defined by Hashem will be destroyed. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Ani mevi aleichem cherev, I'll bring on you a sword. Dalid, v'neshamu mizbechoseichem, your altars will be wrecked. V'nishbru chamanechem, your sun images will be broken. According to Rashi, chamanechem were forms placed on the roof for sun worship. In Sukkim Dalid through Vav, verses 4 through 6, the destruction does not end with the bamos and places of idolatry. V'palti chalalechem lifnei gulechem, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. V'nasati es pigrei b'nei Yisrael lifnei gulehim. Pasuk Vav, I will lay the corpses of b'nei Yisrael before their idols. V'zei resi es atzmoseichem svivos mizbechoseichem. And I will scatter your bones around your altars. Why did the people die in this manner? Pasuk Vav, verse 6 tells us, L'man yechrevu v'yashmu mizbechoseichem. So that your altars will be laid waste and desolate. Another interpretation of the word v'yashmu is that the altars will be made guilty, and all would recognize the cause of their destruction was their sins. The Abarbanel explains that the enemy did not just go around killing people because they worshipped idols, and that's why they died by their altars. Rather, people were fleeing the cities, and the invading armies, whether they were from Babel or the other nations, killed the people as they left, and they happened to fall near the altars and near the idols, which were all over the countryside. The Malbim adds the location of the death was not haphazard. It happened in this way so that it would be clear to the Jewish people the reason for the tragedy. When they would see where the people died and where the bodies ended up, they would make the connection between idolatry and this war. As it says in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, V'nachfal chalal b'sochem v'yadatim ni Hashem. When the slain shall fall in the midst of you, you will know that I am Hashem. The Das Mikra reminds us that Hashem is not trying to get the current generation to do tshuva. Hashem has already called them in Perek Aleph Beis Meri, a rebellious house. The goal of this Perek is when they look upon the events historically, retrospectively, they will be able to reflect on them and make changes. This is important as it is discussed in the next section of the Perek, and it gives purpose to the survivors to have a task to rebuild. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, V'hosarti, I will leave over. Bios lachem plite cherev, since there will be survivors. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vizachru plitechem osi. The refugees will remember Hashem. They will reflect on the fact that they were saved and wonder what caused these events to happen. They will remember, Asher Nishparti es libam hazoneh asher sarmer lai, that I, Hashem, was broken because of their wayward hearts that turned away from me. The survivors will realize that all the death and destruction came not because of geopolitical relationships. It was not because Nebuchadnezzar wanted to march through their area and was trying to expand his empire. Rather, the goal of this exile was thoughtful and purposeful, and not capricious or random. V'nakotu bipneihem, and they shall loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils they have committed. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Dalid, page 64, explains what this introspection and reflection looked like for the Jewish people in exile. We find that in Sefer Nehemiah, it describes a great prayer and a cry to Hashem. The Gemara tells us that this time of prayer was a time when all the great rabbis got together and they begged Hashem to remove from them the Yetzirah, the evil inclination which led them to serve idols. They were concerned that when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, if they still had the desire and lust for idolatry, they would slip back into their old habits and they would never be able to resist serving idols and they would be exiled again and the punishment would again be as severe as it was at the time at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Hashem agreed to these terms and the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah was removed from the world, as was the capacity for Nevuah for prophecy. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, explains how important this change was. V'yadu ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. Lo elchinam dibarti, I have not said this in vain, la'asos lahem hara'azos, that I would do this evil to them. The Malbim tells us that because the Jewish people did tshuva, all the horror was not in vain. This pasuk contains a very important message for us. The Braisa in Bava Basra 14b says a related idea. The rabbis were evaluating which sefer to begin the Ksuvim, the holy writings. Should they start it with Eov? They decided that Eov was full of tragedies and chose to start instead with Rus. The Gemara then questions this decision, as Rus is also filled with tragic deaths and famine. The Gemara answers that the tragedies of Rus are qualitatively different than the tragedies in Eov. In Rus, we find that Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz grow from their suffering. There was tshuva from all those who experienced the hardships. To Eitz Le Tachlis, they have a purpose. Therefore, the suffering in Ruth is not in the same category as the suffering of Eov. This is what Hashem is saying is the goal of the events in this parak. Their goal was to give the Jewish people an awareness that the world in their lives could not take an independent track from what Hashem had expected to them. By learning this lesson, lo elchinam dibarti, I have not spoken in vain. They will have reflected, grown, and changed, and they will know ki ani Hashem. In the future, they will be more connected to Hashem and His Torah. Pasuk Yud Aleph begins the next section of the parak. There, Hashem tells Yechezkel to do public displays of grief, such as clapping his hands, stamping his feet, and crying out. The words in this pasuk are ambiguous. The Malbim points out that clapping hands, stamping feet, and saying ha'ach, expressing oneself vocally, could both be signs of mourning, as well as signs of unbridled joy. Rav Breuer explains this duality. Because there is suffering that they are mourning over, that in itself means that there is hope for the future. There are two words that we can use for cutting someone with a knife. One is stabbing, and one is surgery. The intention behind causing pain to someone is what determines its merits. In this parak, there is not wanton destruction, but it is purposeful. Hashem is performing a surgery on the Jewish people so that they may heal. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Why should Yechezkel perform these expressions of grief or happiness? Harakok bedever yamus. Even survivors far away from the battle will die from unrelated causes from disease. Vanishar v'natsor berav yamus. Those who are besieged will die in famine. While this is a terrible description, the pasuk ends, V'chilisi t'chamasi bam, I will end my anger. Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yadad repeat and summarize the themes of this parak. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, you will know that I am Hashem. You will see all the destruction of the Avodah Zarah and the desolation of the whole country. They will know I am Hashem, and the nation will understand who was Hashem and why all this has happened. This parak had two main sections. It described the destruction of the locations of Avodah Zarah, the Hashgacha, the divine providence behind how people were killed, so that the survivors will do tshuva. With this change, the story contains both grief and joy. Grief over what has happened and joy over the good times that are to come, as Bnei Yisrael recognize, Ki Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. This last idea was particularly meaningful for me. I was preparing this perek on an Erev Shabbos at 3 o'clock when my husband got word that our shuls were opening for Minyan for the first time in over 100 days. It made me stop to think that in my life, there is now a time of grief and a time of hope. The Jewish community has suffered a lot the last 100 days from the coronavirus, and this is something that we're still grappling with. However, lo lechinam el dibarti, hopefully, I'm hoping that I can take the lesson of being isolated, of having to reflect upon my own appreciation of the shuls and schools and my friends and how I talk about them and my relationship with the community, so that there's also a joyful reflection on this time, that I'll use this time to grow, and that as a community, we can all look back on this time and see that it was a time that propelled us to growth. And therefore, if this happens, lo el chinam dibarti, this would not have been in vain. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi nishmas malka Esther bas v'yosei.